Hello there, and welcome back to the podcast. I'm your host and only host, as always here on this podcast, Taylor Jackson. And today, we're here to talk about a very exciting lens. It's not new, came out a while ago. The Tamron 35-150 f2-2.8. What that means is that as you zoom in, the aperture changes, but when you get to 150 millimeters, it's only at f2.8, which is kind of nice. And when you're at 35, you're at f2, which is great. A lot of my friends really recommended this lens heavily. Headshot photographers, wedding photographers, high school senior photographer, they all were like, you need to get a Sony camera and go test this lens. So that's what I did. I got a Sony a7 IV and I got this lens and I went out and I did a wedding day. The wedding day is actually full behind the scenes on YouTube. You can go watch that if you want. And if you're a member, you have access to the settings video. So I do kind of two videos. One of them is a walkthrough of all the settings and the choices that I made on the wedding day. And then the main video on YouTube is the behind the scenes of the actual wedding day. And I really, really enjoyed using this lens. The photos, if you've used it, I don't know, Tamron's really stepped up the game. There was a few comments on the video, like I would never use a Tamron product as a wedding professional, like I'm above that. It's not as sharp or whatever. If you've used any of the Tamron lenses really since 2015, 2016, especially all that when the G2s started coming out, the 24-70 G2 is a lens that we use all the time and we love it. The 70-200 is probably still the best value. 70-200 is in terms of quality. I use the 35 f1.8 because it had stabilization in it when I was on digital SLR and I was shooting video and I had no IBIS yet. And I use 85 1.8 as well. I love all of their lenses. I really, really enjoy the feeling, the rendering, everything about Tamron products. And I was hoping that those principles were going to be brought to this lens, and they were. So I'll start with the negative. The negative is it's pretty expensive-ish, but it replaces so many of your lenses. So I don't know if it's technically expensive when kind of framed in that context, but it definitely is heavy, and it's a heavy lens to carry with you all day. It's kind of the equivalent of carrying an older 70-200 pretty much on your camera body all day. If you're fine with that, then you'll be fine with this lens. If you follow the YouTube channel, you'll know that I am in fact a prime shooter most of the time, which means I'm typically on maybe an 85 prime or maybe a 50 or a 35. And this lens does not go down to those prime f-stop numbers. It does not go down to f1.4 or 1.2 or even 1.8. However, it does go down to f2. I feel a little bit silly in a getting ready situation where I would typically maybe be on a 35 f1.8 when I'm on the 35 to 150. While I do have that 35 f2, it is a gigantic lens to bring into usually a smaller getting ready environment. I feel a little bit weird about that. And honestly, I'll be bringing obviously a backup lens because you shouldn't only bring one lens to a wedding day. I will probably have the 35, maybe the G Master or even the f1.8 FE with me in the bag. And I will likely probably be using that for getting ready. I think there's a little something to be said about showing up, and when you show up into a getting ready environment, say you're in a hotel room, there's already seven people trying to get ready, and you walk in with this gigantic lens, it's going to put people off a little bit, or it's going to establish you very dominantly as the professional. I don't know. I prefer smaller equipment. I feel like I can blend and kind of get people warmed up to the fact that I'm just this photographer, and it's a bit weird. We do it all the time, so it's normal for us, but walking into a room with a bunch of strangers, they know that I'm hired to be there. They've probably been to a wedding before. They know that the photographer's supposed to be there, but I personally still do feel a little bit more comfortable with a smaller lens and a smaller kit when I first walk into that room. But I will say, and you can see it in the behind the scenes, you get a lot of variation very, very quickly that you can get that 35 shot, the shot that you would normally get, and then you get two or three other shots, and you can kind of stay in one spot in the room and zoom around. So there's positives and negatives to that. As soon as you exit the getting ready space, I feel like this lens is kind of weirdly perfect for the rest of the day, or at least perfect up until you get into maybe the speeches part of the reception. For the ceremony, I really couldn't pick a better lens than this. If there was some sort of award that I could give out for the best ceremony lens that's ever existed in the history of photography, I would give it to this lens, hands down. It really is truly an incredible tool, and it's so versatile. My mindset for going into the wedding ceremony is usually that I'm on a 70-200, so I can zoom around and I don't have to run around, and I'm able to get all the frames that I need. With the 35-150, you do not need to use a second camera. You don't need to change a lens. It just gives you everything that you could ever want. The way that I use my lens is I actually am on auto ISO now for the first time pretty much ever. I typically shoot all manual settings, everything locked down, including white balance. Everything remains normal as I would shoot manual, but I will set it to auto ISO and I will set my aperture to whatever the minimum number or I guess maximum number, widest number, so f2, and I'll let it kind of roam around on its own as I zoom in. The way this lens operates, when you're wide at 35 millimeters, it is at f2. As you zoom in, when you get around 50, I believe you're at f2.2, and then at 85, you're 2.8, and that's how it goes. 50 might also be f2.5, but it changes. That's the point I'm trying to make, and it's fine. I don't really notice it in the final gallery, and the images overall are absolutely incredible. I would say what maybe you lose in lack of depth of field, if you are a depth of field junkie and you really want that really shallow focus fall off, you lose a little bit of that, but what you gain is a lot more variety on the day. I noticed this specifically in the behind the scenes video when I'm photographing my bride and she's in a car, and I would shoot that photo maybe 35. I'd have a 35 prime on it. I'd get that shot. And then I would try to move around a little bit. I probably wouldn't think to swap lenses, but when you have all of those lenses as one, it's very easy and quick to just jump around focal lengths and see what actually works, or you can run really far away and zoom in so you get that really nice telephoto compression. There really are a lot of different photos that I got on a day with this lens than I would typically get. So if you are considering this lens and you do happen to shoot Sony, I would 100% recommend it. It's a lens that I'm kind of bummed doesn't exist for any other system that you can potentially, I haven't tried to run it through an adapter yet. Maybe I'll try that, the Canon R3, and see how that goes. But the downside is it's already a pretty large lens, and to add an adapter on top of that, I feel like it's also a stress point too, that it's a heavy lens through an adapter. There's something's going to go wrong there. So I would rather use it natively if possible. And I will be using this at other weddings on my Sony a7 IV because it really is that good. A few people chimed in the comments and said that they actually, that's the reason that they shoot Sony cameras is because of this lens. The only other competitor that I can kind of think of, and it's not really even a competitor, I don't think, is the Canon 28-70 F2, which is kind of that almost do everything wedding lens. Obviously it starts at 28, ends at 70. You don't get the full kind of, I think the reason I like 35-150 is because you get most of what you get from a 7200, and you also get most of what you get from a 24-70. So I think that's why I like that. With the 28-70 F2 for Canon, it's just a heavy, heavy lens, and it's fine. It's great. And I've used it for a few wedding days, but I pretty much prefer shooting a 50 or an 85 prime rather than that lens most of the time. Whereas the 35-150, I prefer to shoot that lens over any other lens in my bag, maybe with the exception of getting ready. That's the only time that I'd want to be switched out of that. When it actually rolls into the reception, depending on lighting, I would probably go back to the Samyang 85 f1.4. If I'm able to get close enough to the podium and not obstruct any guests from seeing it. But if I am in a longer room, or maybe if I stand near the podium to get the 85 shot that I need to get the person at the podium speaking kind of isolated, and I'm going to be in front of people, at that point, I would probably consider switching back to the 150 end of the, and also set one of your C buttons, your custom buttons, to just put you into APS-C mode. So I have I think it's C2 up in the top button there, and I just hit that quickly, and it puts me into the APS-C crop. And the A7 IV, I believe, is 33 megapixels, and that APS-C crop still gives you more than enough megapixels for a wedding day. I even with my Canon cameras, when you pop into APS-C mode and you get maybe, I don't know what the math is again, maybe 12, 14 megapixels from that. I still find that that's good enough for about the shots that you'd be using it for. And typically that's a ceremony shot or a speeches shot. So maybe during the ceremony, I zoom in all the way and I hit my limit. If I'm on a 7200, I hit that 200 limit and I punch into APS-C mode and I get kind of an effective crop of a 300 millimeter frame. Or if I'm on the 35-150, I zoom in all the way, hit that button, and I go into APS-C mode and I get kind of 225 millimeters from it. So it gets you that little bonus reach whenever you just want to go a little bit further. Maybe you can't walk to where you want to go, or you just rather stay out of the way. So those are my thoughts on this lens. If you have any questions, actually, if you have any questions at all, not even about this lens, feel free to send them to me on Instagram. I have no questions this week. And if you did send one, I apologize. Please just bump it back to the top of my inbox. Just send me a star or something and it'll go back to the top because I do tend to get a lot of spam on Instagram. So apologies if I didn't see your question. I went to record this, had a quick scroll, couldn't find any. Until next week, I will see you then, or I'll see you then on another time. I'm Taylor Jackson. Thanks for listening to the podcast. Bye now.